and good evening. Happy Memorial Day. The three-day weekend winding down. My name's Mike Murphy, and this is Eco Radio KC. The other folks have the night off tonight, so we're not going to really have much of headlines or calendar, so we could give Natural E some rest time. And mostly what we're going to do tonight is play highlights from the March Against Monsanto that took place this past Saturday here in Kansas City at J.C. Nichols Fountain and marched. And then there was a march through the plaza. We're going to hear some of the talks about that and some of the reports about that. I wanted to share an interesting observation. So on May 17th, there was an environmental action on the plaza about the XL pipeline and money corrupting the political process, and especially that of fossil funding. And there were, I would estimate, 60 to 80 people that took part in that action, including a march on the plaza. So, and then this past Saturday, there was the March Against Monsanto, and as there were speeches going on, I tried to take a head count, and I counted 95 people that appeared to be there in the park for that purpose. And then there was a march through the plaza, and I counted again, and there were 170. So the event grew, and not only in number of people, but in energy. It was a very interesting time. I talked to some folks who had a chance. You know, this was an opportunity, especially marching through the plaza, of not preaching to the choir, but a chance to spend some time with folks and explain about Monsanto and about genetically modified organisms and a lot of different things. And so the people had an interesting take. The point I want to make, though, about two Saturdays in a row, environmental action on the plaza, I saw very few people. I could probably count on one hand out of those 2 weeks of people that were at both. So I'm scratching my head, A, is that a good thing or a bad thing? I mean, it's good that two entirely separate or pretty much entirely separate environmental groups showed up and witnessed for a couple of very important environmental concerns. And these were both parts of national actions. These were not, you know, these were in conjunction, coordinated with similar actions going on all around the country, when, in the case of March Against Monsanto, around the world. So I'm curious, maybe folks can explain, if you were at one, was there a reason you weren't at the other? I'm curious if anyone has any observations about that. And then there's a third. This coming Saturday, there's going to be a third environmental action, three Saturdays in a row. This one will not be at J.C. Nichols Fountain. It will be at the Bannister Federal Complex at 3 p.m., and that's at 1500 East Bannister Road in Kansas City. It's the contaminated site of the old NSA nuclear weapons parts production plant. And I was part of an action earlier today, walking from the old weapons plant at Bannister Road, at 1500 East Bannister Road, to the new weapons plant, which is at 14520 Botts Road. And so I'm going to read you a little bit of the press release from that event, but I want to, I guess, give you some context about next Saturday. So it's not an environmental organization that's putting this on next Saturday. It's Peaceworks and a loosely fit group called Trifecta Resista, and the name implies that they're resisting three different things. And their focus is the military-industrial complex. And so their one action is at Fort Leavenworth involving Chelsea Manning, and there's that's the opening action. And the closing action on Sunday is at the Whiteman Air Force Base, where drones are being flown out of. These are both things in the KKFI listening area. And then, of course, the in between is the action at the Bannister Federal Complex, the old site, not the new site. And so I'm going to read you a little bit about from the PeaceWorks press release for this morning's action, which was a walk from the old plant to the new plant, which was 9 miles plus. So if I sound short of breath, that might explain it. So the walk today began at Bannister and Wayne, the entrance to the Kansas City plant at Bannister Federal Complex. This plant, which has made non-nuclear parts for nuclear weapons since 1941, is being moved 9 miles south to 14520 Botts Road. And so this was a walk to highlight. And this was the purpose of this walk, and then the purpose of next Saturday's action at the old plant, is to call attention to deaths and illnesses from toxins at Bannister Federal Complex. And so in addition to making weapons of mass destruction, these plants, I mean, there are other environmental concerns about this. So skipping down into the press release here, this Kansas City plant makes and procures parts such as radar firing mechanisms, guidance systems, containers for the tritium that gives boost to the weapons. And so Ann Sullentrop, PeaceWorks KC board member, said that we fear the federal government will forsake its responsibility to clean up the Bannister Federal Complex mess. So we're trying to draw attention to the need for comprehensive cleanup at the Bannister Federal Complex to residential standards. This is in a residential area. And so Ann Sullentrop goes on, we advocate cleanup to residential standards, not industrial standards, and certainly not simply continued pump and treat maintenance of the up to 900 hazardous, often cancer-causing chemicals. We are concerned because the Kansas City plant is located in a floodplain between a river and a creek, sources of our drinking water. The Bannister Federal Complex cleanup is also an environmental justice issue. The complex stands in the middle of a residential area, including an economically challenged African-American community, directly across the street to the south, and a long-term health care facility on the north side. Reports indicate that the federal government may turn over the title and cleanup of the Kansas City plant to a private company. That's the old plant. In January, the media reported that cleanup plans include tearing down the buildings for $175 million. This would leave the area open to rains, which could push back the contamination between ground into the nearby river, says Sullentrop. Missouri's governor will have to sign up on the transfer of the plant to a private company. We advocate that he make sure that the federal government commits enough funding for stringent, comprehensive cleanup before it is handed over to redevelopment. So, again, that'll be a third Saturday in a row of an environmental action here in Kansas City. And I'm curious, am I going to see any folks from the previous two environmental actions? So if anyone has a chance to or would like to weigh in on that subject about all these environmental actions and why you went, why you didn't go, you give me a call, and I may or may not be able to get you on the air. I think we should have time to do that because basically what we're going to do with the bulk of today's program is play some highlights from Saturday's march against Monsanto. But we have some free space, so we'll fill up with recordings. I've also got a report from Between the Lines on the melting glacier. We'll try and get into all of that. But if you have any thoughts on that, give me a call, 816-931-5534, and I'd like to hear from you. And I could relay your message on the air, or we could put you on the air. But we're going to go to some of the speeches from this past Saturday, May 24th, and March Against Monsanto, and after we play a couple messages. A couple other reports, though, about March Against Monsanto, that in Lawrence, I'm hearing there were 20 to 25 people there, and I heard in places such as Philadelphia and Portland, there were 1,000 people. And so there were things going all over the world on Saturday, and interesting to be part of that big picture and make sure we hold up the corner of Kansas City. So we're going to get to some of that. We're going to hear some of the March Against Monsanto right after these messages.
On the next Alternative Radio.
Traders, or really the leaders of these banks, have been rewarded for their mistakes. And they've not been held accountable for their institutional risk. And the fines that they've paid, or the Department of Justice has made them pay, or the SEC has made them pay, have been nothing compared to the risk they take and the assets they have, and the assets they've been allowed to amass since the last crisis and after each crisis.
Former investment banker Nomi Prince, Wednesday morning at 9.
Did you know that our national debt is actually our nation's savings? Professor L. Randall Ray will discuss how modern money theory tends to favor a positive role for fiscal policy in the economy. Join us Wednesday at noon for another All Souls Forum right here on KKFI.
Okay, so someone took the bait and was willing to call in and talk about Monsanto, so we're going to get to this caller before we hear from Saturday's demonstration. Caller, you're on the air. What's your name and what part of town you calling from?
Yeah, my name's Tom. I'm from South KC.
Hey.
Hey.
So what do you have to say?
Oh, I just think that it's a crying shame that we have companies like Monsanto who continue to do, just like you were describing the federal, I don't know if you were just talking about the federal armory or whatever, with all the poison in the ground in mid-Kansas City.
Well, that's really South Kansas City. I mean, that's 95th and, I mean, that's 95th.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like, why are we, it's just crazy. It's like corporate craziness. You dump in this glyphosate that Monsanto makes on the ground, like all over the ground. And glyphosate is proven to, like, wreck human intestines.
What is that?
They never bothered testing for that.
What did you say has been proven to?
Oh, it's called glyphosate, GLYPHOSATE.
Oh, okay.
It's like the main ingredient of Roundup.
Right.
The poison that they spray all over God's green earth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's frustrating. I didn't get to make it to the march, but my spirits were definitely with the people in Kansas City saying, well, what the heck, you know, clean up our world.
Yeah, yeah. So, were you by any chance at the event the week before? This was not about Monsanto, but about the XL pipeline and dirty money corrupting. Were you at that event?
No, the closest related thing was when Vandana Shiva, Dr. Vandana Shiva was in town.
Sure, yeah.
With Grow Kansas City.
Yeah,
me and my wife went to that.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
I heard that was sold out. I mean, it was packed, I heard.
Oh,
yeah.
She's like Gandhi, dude.
Yeah.
That woman is like Gandhi, for real.
Yeah, she's pretty heavy duty. Yeah, KKFI got to broadcast that live. And
oh, cool.
And you can listen to her speech. It's on our website if you
really
look it up. And it's one of the
more popular downloads. Right on.
From that.
I'll check it out.
Okay. Well, we're going to get into some of what you missed on Saturday from March
cool.
Against Monsanto. And we'll try and play some of this, and then we'll get back. And if anyone else wants to call in, 816-931-5534. And, hey, thanks a lot. Happy Memorial Day. Thanks for calling in.
All right.
All right.
Bye-bye. All right. See you.
Bye. All right. I'm multitasking here, being a one-man show, so please bear with me. But I think we're good to go.
Stick here. Okay, you're holding it. There you go. Just pull the trigger. I'm kind of going to read this so I don't mess it up because...
Let me just say real quick that that's Angela Cooper who's about to speak. I guess I cut off the introduction there. And the sound you're hearing is not hiss. This is at the fountain, so that's rushing water plus traffic you'll hear.
Everything in here is very important to me, so sorry if I don't look up a lot. My name is Angela Cooper, and I am with the Children of Vietnam Health Alliances. My father's name is Charles S. Pulliam. He's the United States Army 82nd Airborne Fort Bragg and a Special Forces Advisor in Vietnam from 1963 to 1964. In Vietnam, Monsanto was a company responsible for making defoliants and herbicides used in Vietnam War. They were given color-coded names. The toxic chemical herbicide orange, better known as Agent Orange, was called that because of the orange bands on the 55-gallon drums. The United States poured millions of gallons of Agent Orange from crop dusting planes all over Vietnam to kill off vegetation consistently from 1961 to 1971 in the crime against humanity the United States government called Operation Ranch Hand. They used Agent Orange as part of their rainbow herbicide warfare. My father and I were speaking just the other day, right before his skin cancer removal surgery he's had for the sixth time about Vietnam. I said how awful it was for him that he had cancer all over his body because of Agent Orange. He replied, "We're lucky. Those flyboys," meaning Air Force soldiers, "man, they swim in that crap. I just have skin cancer." Monsanto killed and caused diseases to so many of our soldiers from all branches of the military, but the Air Force handled Agent Orange more than anyone. How awful to think that Monsanto made this toxic chemical that killed over 400,000 and still maims millions. I guess I was lucky. I wasn't born with only skin where eyes should be. I was born with eyes. I wasn't born with spina bifida, missing limbs, cancer, or any other unthinkable amount of ailments that you can see caused by Agent Orange. Yes, I have some ailments, along with so many other children of Vietnam, that you can't see. However, the Department of Veteran Affairs fought and still fights our United States soldiers of Vietnam, saying that they were not and are not dying from Agent Orange, and that their offspring wasn't affected by Agent Orange. The government covered up for this corporation who made this poison, and they are still covering up for the same Monsanto corporation for 52 years later. Monsanto nor the VA are paying for the health care needs of the Vietnam veterans that they exposed to Agent Orange. They got them to be so severely sick and in hundreds of thousands of cases die because of the chemicals that Monsanto made. Monsanto is making millions of dollars on putting patents on seeds, suing farmers, getting tax breaks from our government, and creating Roundup poison. The government is not being for the people at all in this instance. The government actually makes laws to protect Monsanto while they commit these atrocities. The government ignores most all of the veterans' diseases of Vietnam and all but one birth defect of children of Vietnam veterans. Unless it's spina bifida, the VA doesn't even recognize it as a disease associated with Agent Orange. My son has Tourette syndrome. He is not acknowledged as part of Monsanto's crime against humanity, even though studies show a 25% higher rate of children with Tourette's being born of Vietnam veterans or those of veterans' children. Not people that were not in the war. Those families have a 25% less likely chance to get Tourette syndrome. It's amazing that they just completely ignore all studies that were shown. If you yourself were to just look at the children born with the birth defects in Vietnam because of Agent Orange, you wouldn't even need the overwhelming studies to tell you the reality of it. You will see it with your eyes in ways the studies cannot show. So many horrible birth defects to an overwhelming amount of children. But the government still covers up for this corporation for 52 years. What's in it for the government? The United States government politicians get big campaign funds from Monsanto. And so why would they worry about the people, right? Monsanto supplies sick people by poisoning us and giving us cancer to the pharmaceutical companies that give government politicians even more campaign funds. It's called bribes. These are called bribes. We need to come first. Us people need to come first. It's our government, not the financial kickbacks of corporations like Monsanto. I don't understand how the VA can just turn their backs and be willing to ignore all new studies performed to anyone and still use studies only from the 1950s to show us what can be passed from males to their offspring, not studies conducted this day and age with new technology, because then they would have to admit that they and companies like Monsanto are the cause and responsible for these tragic deaths and diseases. You would think that politicians would see the effects that Monsanto had on humankind in Vietnam. You would also think that politicians wouldn't get bribed to protect that same corporation, Monsanto, now, while they're once again poisoning the nest with GMOs, genetically modified foods. That's why we're here today. Monsanto is responsible for the worst chemical warfare in humankind history. Can you tell me why that they're responsible for our food supply? Monsanto is the largest producer of corn and soy. Monsanto produces 90% of all U.S. supply. Monsanto is the number one producer of genetically modified seeds. Those are seeds that contain DNA from herbicides like Roundup in Monsanto's case, and it goes into every cell of the plant that the seed grows. Every cell is contaminated by the poison. The poison is eaten, and not only does it spread through our organs, but studies have shown that these same poisons spread through pregnant women's fetuses. But much like Agent Orange, Monsanto Corporation and the United States government are ignoring the studies that are providing a terrifying rise in organ damage, gastrointestinal, immune system disorders, infertility, tumors, cancers, gluten intolerances, and so many allergies causing anaphylactic shock. There are too many here to mention today. And they were all caused by adding chemicals into the actual DNA of our growing food. Genetically engineered food is dangerous and deadly. Monsanto mixes genes from totally unrelated species and puts them in plants. So, vegetarians and vegans, you are unknowingly putting animal DNA into your body. They alter every single cell in the plant. And then to get any yield from these genetically modified mutant plants, they must spray it with Roundup poison. This entire process is harmful and causes side effects up to death. The United States government will continue to ignore it until we, the people that they are servants of, stand up and educate ourselves on the extreme harms of GMO and insist that our government stops letting this corporation, Monsanto, kill us and our children. The American Academy of Environmental Medicine suggests that doctors prescribe GMO-free diets for every patient and not to wait to protect ourselves. GMOs were introduced in 1996. That was the year that my 17-year-old daughter was born. It's terrifying that the government has allowed her to unknowingly be poisoned every day of her life. I was never given a choice not to poison my own child. I was lied to by our government by not being told that GMOs are poison and cause cancer, and I'm still being lied to by our government about GMO cross-pollination with organic and conventional farmers, and how Monsanto is completely destroying these farmers' crops, yet Monsanto sues the farmers for basically being forced to have contaminated crops. How is this even possible? These farmers are trying so hard to have no contamination from Monsanto's poison. They are losing money from the wind-blown cross-contamination, yet Monsanto is protected by the government. Why does the government not protect the people here? In this case, they're the farmers. Most all of the health and environmental risks of GMOs are ignored by an almost non-existent government when it comes to the safety concerns on this regulation. The United States Food and Drug Administration does not require any safety studies. They do not require labeling on GMOs, and the agency doesn't even need to be notified when the new products with GMOs are put on food store shelves. Anything can be sold as food with no testing. But like the director of communications of Monsanto said, Monsanto should not have to vouch for the safety of biotech food. Our interest is in selling as much of it as possible. Assuring the safety is the FDA's job. His name is Philip Angel. Biotech companies like Monsanto told us that Agent Orange was safe and Roundup was all natural and you can drink it. Agent Orange was Monsanto's pride and joy that killed hundreds of thousands of people, all while the government and Monsanto said it was safe. Roundup is Monsanto's pride and joy now. Are you going to trust their words of safety like you did before, or open your eyes and look up the studies and the facts that can't be disputed? There is not one herbicide on earth that's more harmful to the human body or the environmentally damaging as Roundup. Its effects are destructive to all life forms. Human, land mammals, birds, insects, amphibians, marine ecosystems, marine animals, soil, and water resources. For what? Money? Biotech companies make millions, but they are not made to pay for the crimes against humanity that they cause. Roundup Ready poisons and GMOs do not increase yield at all. This is their pathetic sales pitch. Studies do not show more yield from GMOs. Do they not see the farmers all over the world dying from starvation from Monsanto's products not yielding? If you don't spray Roundup poison on your crops, they won't yield at all. Just ask the family of the 250,000 farmers in India that have committed suicide. Why? Because their crops yielded nothing after they bought the seeds from Monsanto and couldn't afford to keep spraying them with poison. They will tell you it doesn't yield more food. And this just isn't happening in India. It's happening all over the world. The world eats 7 billion pounds of food. We produce 12 billion pounds of food. Food is not what we are lacking. It's the money to buy it. Many countries are banning Monsanto poisons altogether. Why aren't we? The United States is at the top of our food chain. Why are we letting our poison, our food, kill us? Do not wait to start protecting yourselves. We need to be our children's voice and stop Monsanto's poisoning for profit.
Mike Dean, I'm with the Kansas City affiliate of Move to Amend. We're fighting for a constitutional amendment that overrules the Supreme Court and establishes that corporations are not people and money is not speech. Is Monsanto so powerful just because they have money? No, they're powerful because we have a political system that ignores the people and listens to those with the big dollars. Campaign finance laws have been gutted, and lobbyists are running amok because of decisions like Citizens United. To stop the corrosion of money in politics, we must move to amend the U.S. Constitution. Corporations are not people. Money is not speech. When Prop 37 was introduced, 61% of California voters were in favor of putting a label on genetically modified foods. Seems reasonable. But after almost $50 million of political spending, or quote-unquote free speech, the proposition lost. But is Monsanto the only corporation doing this? No! Yeah, absolutely. More than 70% of political spending in the 2012 election, nearly $3 billion, came from businesses, not even counting Sheldon Adelson or the Koch brothers. Big corporations know that political spending is a great investment. Let's move the power back to the people and move to amend the Constitution. Corporations are not people. Money is not speech. Now Vermont has passed another law requiring labels on genetically modified foods. Monsanto, hiding behind the Grocery Manufacturers Association, is going to sue to prevent it, claiming that requiring information on a label somehow violates their corporate right not to speak. That's the argument they use to defeat a similar law in Vermont back in 1998. This is not radical in the least. 82% of Americans know that corporations are not people, and that the freedom of speech doesn't depend on how much money you have. But huge corporations love controlling our legal system. Wall Street banks are too big to jail. Wealth inequality in the U.S. is at its highest level ever. Bee colonies are collapsing. While we spray more than 2 million tons of pure pesticides on Mother Earth every year, and one-fifth of a teaspoon of neonicotinoid can kill 250 million bees. Meanwhile, rail cars full of oil are exploding, and the West Atlantic ice sheet, Antarctic ice sheet, is sliding into the ocean. All of these things can be traced directly back to huge corporations with way too much money and way too much political influence. They spend more than $3 billion lobbying Washington annually. That's more than $6 million for each lawmaker. An amendment is the best way to fight back on all of these fronts. The American people have passed 27 amendments. Six of them have directly overruled Supreme Court decisions. With social media, we can pass this one more. We must move to amend. Corporations are not people. Money is not speech. And get information, sign up with Move to Amend. They're in the robes, the Supreme Court robes. Sign up with them and let's change this. Let's pass an amendment. So many of the problems facing our country, including genetically modified foods, pesticides, everything Angela talked about, can be defeated with an amendment that says corporations are not people. Money is not speech. Corporations are not people. Money is not speech. Corporations are not people. Money is not speech. Move to amend. Move to amend. Move to amend.
Somebody's into doing something. I'm glad to see it. And let's, you know, we really got to pull together because the truth, the spirit is behind us. Now, we got a lot of things that we're up against, and I realize that, and I'm sure all of you realize it, but I just wanted to mention that we're having a demonstration next weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Two events on Saturday. We're going to have a 55-person bus with a toilet on it going up to Leavenworth to support the whistleblower, Chelsea Manning. That'll be leaving, that'll be leaving about 10 a.m. for Fort Leavenworth, or actually leaving 9 a.m. departing Kansas City. That'll be out of De La Salle Church. And if you want to find out all the details, look up Trifecta Resista. And then later on that afternoon, we're going to protest all the contamination out of the nuclear parts plant that, you know, builds nuclear weapons out of the Bannister plant. That'll be Saturday afternoon. And then, guess what? We're going to go out to Whiteman's Air Force Base on Sunday morning and afternoon to protest drone warfare, killing of innocent people in our name with our money. Well, there's a lot more to it, and you can hear a lot more about it at the Trifecta Resista. We're working on a coffee house, tea house on Friday night and Saturday night. So come on over to De La Salle, and the address there, sure it's on here someplace, is 3737 Truth. So it'll be starting Friday at 4, and we'll be going. People will be spending the night there, people from out of town and stuff. So come on out and do something. Thank you.
Let me assure you, the more people that sing, the less it matters if you're...
Okay, let me just step in here to say, during this recording, we do run out of tape. He said anachronistically. But we're going to let this rip as long as it goes.
This is an old union song called Which Side Are You On? To me, today, the sides are either the corporatists or the people. That's it. It doesn't matter, Democrat, Republican, rich or poor. It's the corporatists versus the people. And so those are the sides we're going to pick from. I've written two verses, Monsanto specific. I'm going to put them in towards the end, and I need notes to do it because I'm still remembering a lot of new songs. Your part, your lines are very easy. Which side are you on? 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 Can you all remember that?
Right. starting a good battle. We know we're sure to win, because the ideas of the corporatists are getting mighty thin. This battle may go on for years, perhaps it'll never end. But win or lose, we're gonna keep on fighting. We'll fight and fight again. So, which side are you on? Hey people, which side are you on? Which side are you on, people? Which side are you on? They made us pay for their mistakes. They said we had no say. Well, let's show them what we've got to say come election day. Too big to fail is too big, so let's cut them down to size. We the people can do a job if we organize. So, which side are you on? Hey people, which side are you on? Which side are you on? Hey people, which side are you on? All across the USA, no neutrals can be found. You're either with we the people, or you're helping them keep us down. Take a look in the mirror, look closely, people, and tell me what you see. Are you a frightened lamb or an American, proud and strong and free? So, which side are you on, people? Which side are you on? Which side are you on? Hey, people, which side are you on? The signs are everywhere. I've seen them and I've come to tell the tale. How the Holy Spirit gets driven out when the devil comes in to dwell. Come gather around and listen to me as I hear what the news won't tell. Had enough, to hell with the devil, let's ring that closing bell. Hey! Which side are you on? Hey people, which side are you on? Which side are you on? Hey people, which side are you on? Now for these next two verses, we're going to say, hey Sammy, because we're talking to Uncle Sam. You know Uncle Sam, the guy in the striped suit, hangs around with Monsanto. Hey Uncle Sam, Monsanto has been messing with our food. They don't want to tell us when they've done the things they do. We get warning labels on cigarettes. Is it too much to ask of you to make them let us know when GMOs are lurking in our food, huh? Which side are you on? Hey, Sammy, which side are you on? Which side are you on? Hey, Sammy, which side are you on? We see people wearing hazmat suits when they're out among the crops. And to tell us not to worry, this madness has to stop. We're not asking for too much, but we would really like to know when something we are about to eat is filled with GMOs. So, which side are you on? Hey, Sammy, which side are you on? Which side are you on? Hey, Sammy, which side are you on? All you workers of the world, come join together as one. United we can change the world. We won't quit till the job gets done. For if at first we don't succeed, we'll try and try again. With truth and justice on our side, we are sure to win. And truth and justice are on our side, and that's what matters in the end.
Florence Reese, a coal miner's wife, wrote the title and some lyrics to that back in 1931. Wow. It was based on an old Baptist hymn. And lots of other people, including the Occupy movement, have written some of those verses too. So about 80% of that was mine, 10% Occupy, and 10% Florence Reese. So let's hear it for Florence and Occupy. This one you've all heard before. It's a Woody Guthrie song, This Land Is Your Land. And again, I got two Monsanto verses I'll stick in towards the end. The chorus we'll start with. You all know it. If you don't, you'll learn it soon enough, because we're going to sing it about 100 times. This land is your land.
This land is my land, from California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Red Sea Cloud.
Gulfstream waters.
This land was made for you and me. As I was walking that ribbon of highway, I saw above me that endless skyway. I saw below me that golden valley. This land was made for you and me. I've roamed and I've rambled, and I followed my footsteps from the sparkling sands of the diamond deserts. And all around me, I've heard voices sounding. This land was made for you and me.
All together now.
This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you and me. When the sun was shining and I went strolling, saw the wheat fields waving, saw the dust clouds rolling, and as the fog was lifted, a voice was chanting, and it said, this land was made for you and me. As I was walking, I saw a sign there, and on the sign it said, no trespassing. But on the other side, it didn't say nothing. That sign was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to New York Island, Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. This land was made for you and me.
All right, for Monsanto, we dedicate these next two verses. If you give me a choice between your GMOs and some fruits and vegetables organically grown, I'm going to choose organic. And I'm not alone. Maybe that's why Monsanto doesn't want us to know.
It's John.
All right, and that's pretty much where we ran out of our recording. Right here on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. And that was from Saturday's March Against Monsanto. And we heard Mike Dean and Angela Cooper speak before the music. Angela was kind enough to share the transcript of her talk, so that's on the Eco Radio KC Facebook page, and it's also on kkfi.org if you go to the episode of tonight's program. You'll see it there if you click on the Read More. And March Against Monsanto, that was this past Saturday. And again, there is another environmental event coming up this coming Saturday, and it's going to be at the Bannister Federal Complex. And joining me on the air right now is Henry Stover. Are you there, Henry?
Yes, I am. Thank you for a wonderful program, Michael. You're tying in many of the concerns we have. I would like to say is that we each need to find ways to dialogue with those that we come in contact with. We need to talk to them and put in the forefront this consciousness of impending doom. And we need to meet them where they are at and talk to them at the churches or synagogues or the mosque, to the business person, to the elderly, to those with children, that our future is at stake. Our lives are truly hanging in the balance. We have had this permanent war economy for decades and decades, and presently we have bases in more than 100 countries. Presently we are spending $600 billion, that's with a B, not a million, but billion per year on the military. And we are also spending more money on the development of nuclear weapons. When we signed this treaty, ratified by the Senate in 1970, to reduce and work toward the elimination of nuclear weapons. And when we consider the Bannister Federal Complex with, on its own website, the 900 toxic chemicals, and that we have people living very close to that facility, we have that Indian Creek across the way, which there are signs that say, do not touch the water, and yet we have people fishing in that same body of water. We have to ask everyone that we know that we have to reverse these destructive actions that are going on. And we, the people, as Lincoln talked about in his Gettysburg Address, you know, this Memorial Day, we, the people, we, it is our government. We have to take it back. We have to be able to preserve our way of life. And I don't mean way of life with the greed that is going on, but our way of life to live with everyone on the planet. And we have to demand that we, that these lies are in the balance. And for the future of the children, we need to take action. Even the U.S. military recognizes the ecological problems when it's seeking to move some of its facilities, some of its offices off of the East Coast, whether that's in the Norfolk, Virginia area or Miami area, because with rising oceans and so forth, those facilities are endangered. So they're looking to move those inland. And we have to recognize the signals that have already been given, whether it's Rachel Carson and the studies that were discussed by the Monsanto anti-activist, and by the many people that have appeared on Eco Radio and the other programs. I want to thank those that took part in today's 10-mile walk from the old plant to the new plant. I was there for part of the rally opposing Monsanto on Saturday. I saw a lot of hope, a lot of life. I saw wide diversity in ages. And we need to just bring the people out, because we are the government. We are the voters. But we can't just rely on the politicians. We have to do this in as many creative ways as possible. So thank you for this particular program.
All right. Well, before I let you go, so tell us a little bit about what's planned. For this program, want to focus on the Saturday afternoon event at the Bannister Federal Complex, part of the Trifecta Resista. Folks are going to arrive there at 3 p.m. at the old plant on Bannister and Lydia, basically, or
Wayne is the main entryway.
Okay.
And that is like where the main gate is. And you can park where the Valero station is, just park up the hill, which is south at Lydia there. There will be a rally. There will be speakers. This is all totally nonviolent. No one is to bring alcohol or drugs or weapons of any sort. There will be some speakers. We believe that there will be some individuals that will want to step across the line. And this is to shed light that this legacy that has existed there since 1949, building these weapons and contaminating the earth there. And some years back, they talked about the 200 wells that they have that they have constructed there to monitor as the pollutants filter down to the ground. There are maps that show where the plumes are, which are these organic chemicals that are on that ground there. And that's part of the reason why persons are not supposed to touch the water or fish across the street, because these waters migrate. And so there will be some individuals, do not know how many, who allow themselves to be arrested. Those that do not want to be arrested will be asked to go back to where the gates are, those floodgates that they have constructed there. So only those who are risking arrest will be north of that particular floodgate area.
Okay,
we're expecting Honeywell
Saturday
security
from like
officers and the Kansas
4:30.
Police Department will be present. They know, you know, about these things. We are open. We are courageous.
I'm sorry, Henry. We're going to have. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. We have to wrap up, but so this is going to be from 3 to 4:30 on Saturday at 1500 East Bannister Road.
Come a little earlier, get parked, come on down the street, and support the need, you know, to hold accountable what has happened, the pollution that is there at the site. And we need, you know, to work toward a new future.
Okay.
So that we may preserve the planet.
All right. Well, thanks for checking in tonight.
Great. Thank you.
All right. That was Henry Stover with Peaceworks. And we're just going to get ready to wrap up. We're going to close out with a piece that we aired on Between the Lines the other day on the melting of the Antarctic ice sheet. But something I just came across from Organic Consumers Association, the EPA is considering approval of a new 2,4-D herbicide that will be used on Dow's GMO Agent Orange crops. And the deadline for public comment is May 30th, and you can find out more about that at organicconsumers.org. And so thanks. Happy Memorial Day to everyone. Thanks for listening. Sabor Latino coming up next. We're going to hear a couple of messages and then hear this report from Squeaky Reel Productions and Between the Lines.
This week on The Bioneers, Revolution from the Heart of Nature.
One of the things that the children wanted in their school is a river flowing through their classroom. What the team decided, well, this is a living building. Perhaps we should listen to the students.
I'm Neil Harvey. Please join us for Disruptive Design with visionary architect Jason McLennan and Cheryl Dolly on The Bioneers, Revolution from the Heart of Nature.
Bioneers starts a little early this week, around 9:20, right after Democracy Now!
Hi, this is Judy Ansel. On Saturday, June 14th at IBEW Local 124, the Heartland Labor Forum will celebrate 25 years of talking back to the boss with two of our favorite hellraisers, America's number one populist Jim Hightower and labor troubadour Ann Feeney. We'll have a VIP meet and greet dinner at 6 p.m., followed by a hell-raising speech in concert at 7. Details, advance tickets, and directions are available at kkfi.org. We do the
work. Two teams of scientists have reported that the Western Antarctic ice sheet is collapsing as a result of global climate change and is already triggering a rise in sea level at a faster rate than previously forecast. Researchers say that the melting of the entire Western Antarctic ice sheet may eventually increase sea levels by as much as 13 feet. These conclusions were confirmed by several years of readings from the European Space Agency's Cryosat-2 satellite. The data collected indicates that Antarctica's ice sheets are losing nearly 160 billion tons of ice per year, which is twice as much as the estimates from previous surveys. The melting, which over the next 200 to 1,000 years will inundate low-lying coastal regions across the globe, making them uninhabitable. A rise of less than 4 feet of sea level would flood U.S. coastal cities, including Miami, New Orleans, New York, and Boston, where more than 3.5 million people live today. Scientists involved in the research say the melting of the Antarctic ice is unstoppable, even with concerted and urgent action to reduce greenhouse gas emissions that cause global warming. But without a rapid reduction in those emissions, the rate of melting ice in the polar regions and in Greenland will almost certainly increase. Your reporter spoke with Richard Heinberg, senior fellow in residence at the Post Carbon Institute and author of 11 books on energy and the environment. Here he discusses the recent reports on melting ice in the Antarctic and the importance of instituting policies to move away from fossil fuels and toward developing renewable green energy sources.
Well, this study that was done by NASA and published in the American Geophysical Union Journal suggests that the melting is going to take place over a fairly long period of time, and no one can say for sure, but probably over centuries. But what's distressing is the scale of what's melting. I mean, once all of this ice is melted, the world's oceans will be over 100 feet higher than they are today. So it'll be a different world, different coastlines. And the other thing that's disturbing about this is the word irreversible. The authors of this study were very careful in choosing their words. Effectively, even if we stop burning fossil fuels today, this melting and disintegration of the ice sheet will continue in any case as a result of the greenhouse gases we've already put into the Earth's atmosphere and the self-reinforcing feedbacks that have already kicked in. So on top of the melting of the North Polar ice cap and the increasing rate of melting of the glaciers on Greenland, now we have this irreversible melting in Antarctica. It's all, as you can imagine, very, very bad news.
Richard, as someone who studied the fossil fuel industry and the alternatives, the green alternatives to fossil fuels as our energy source, what is the most important thing that we could do now as a country and as a world community to address this? There seems to be so much climate change denial in our politics, especially in the United States, that it's dispiriting and frustrating to understand our government is really not responding to the crisis.
Well, it's important, of course, for citizens to make their voices known about this problem. You know, policymakers have a tough time with this because in order to address climate change, we're going to have to get off of the energy sources that made the Industrial Revolution and all of the immense wealth creation of the last few decades possible. I mean, fossil fuels really are remarkable from an energy standpoint. They're energy dense, in the case of oil, highly portable. Oil runs virtually all of our transportation, and we rely on that not just for, you know, getting from A to B, but also transporting food and products and manufacturing processes, agriculture, on and on and on. We're immensely dependent on fossil fuels. So getting off of fossil fuels is a big job, and it's going to entail some sacrifices. And no politician wants to get out in front of an audience and say, well, you know, we have some hard work ahead of us and we're going to have to make sacrifices. Politicians want to say, oh, if you vote for me, everything's going to be better. We'll have lots of economic growth, no problems. And that's just, unfortunately, that's not the real world in the 21st century. We have a lot of belt tightening to do. We're going to have to reduce our energy consumption, reducing our fossil fuel consumption in agriculture, and changing our patterns of transportation, land use, the way we design our cities. Lots of things are going to have to happen, and it's going to take leadership. If we're going to make it through this difficult time, we're going to have planning and leadership.
What do you think the most effective thing, people who are concerned about climate change and the lack of action on the part of our government, in the face of large contributions to politicians from the billionaire Koch brothers and folks of that sort, who are very much, I think, steering our politics away from addressing climate change, what's an effective thing that we can all do?
Well, there's a lot, actually. I mean, working to fix our political system is one thing, but that's a long-range task. But also working locally. You know, there are wonderful programs all across the country that are regional, local, citywide, countywide, in some cases statewide, that really are working to change policies, to change our trajectory with relation to energy and fossil fuels. So getting involved in those projects locally, things like transition towns that are, you know, totally grassroots, where people just get together and say, you know, what can we do right now with what we know and the tools at our disposal? What can we do in our own lives and our own communities to reduce our fossil fuel consumption? That kind of thing is exciting, and it really makes a difference. And it doesn't require, you know, this long-range, slow, difficult process of changing our political system, which has to happen, but, you know, it can't happen overnight.
That was Richard Heinberg, senior fellow in residence at the Post-Carbon Institute and author of 11 books, his most recent titled Snake Oil, How Fracking's False Promise of Plenty Imperils Our Future. Find more information on the melting of Antarctic ice and groups working to address climate change by visiting our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org.
Thanks for listening to Eco Radio KC on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.